Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
This is Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The Department of Defense is transforming to become a net-centric force, and information is critical to this transformation. Increased data exchange and integrated operations are essential components of contemporary information warfare and highlights the need for cooperation between DoD and industry. The information environment needs to be modern, seamless, interoperable, secure, and globally accessible. With us this morning to discuss the role his organization has in the effort is our special guest, R. Paul Ryan, Administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center, otherwise known as DTIC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is John Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Application Innovation Practice. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Paul, though our audience is probably quite familiar with the Department of Defense, it may not be as familiar with the Defense Technical Information Center. Perhaps you could tell us about its history, the purpose, and the evolution of DTIC.
I'd be glad to. DTIC's central function is the repository for scientific and technical information supporting DoD's research and engineering efforts. We have a history that goes back 60 years, and in that sense, we're actually older than the Department of Defense. We began with a collection of documents from World War II measured in tonnage that came over from London on Liberty ships, 250 tons, at that time managed by the Army Air Corps. They went to Wright-Patterson. That became the nucleus of our collection. We served as the Air Force broke away from the Army, primarily the Air Force. In 1951, Secretary of Defense Marshall established us as an organization called ASTIA, still executive agent for the Air Force, but we were then to serve all three departments. So all three departments would be on equal footing in using scientific and technical information to advance their R&D programs. We have gone through a series of changes organizationally. A fair amount of time in our career, we have been part of other organizations, sub-elements of organizations such as the Defense Logistics Agency or the Defense Information Systems Agency. We've been part of acquisition technology and logistics in a sub-role there. In 2004, the decision was made to bring DTIC back to the Defense Research and Engineering Office. At that time, the decision was also made to establish us as an independent field activity, no longer making us directly subordinate to a different parent organization. That change was significant for DTIC in that it raised our visibility and raised the footprint that we had throughout the department. I like to emphasize when I talk to people that DTIC is an organization that's very proactive and has a lot of forward-leaning efforts underway. Back in the late 60s and early 70s, we were one of the first three organizations in the world to develop an online bibliographic information system. The other two were NASA Recon and the Dialog system. Later, in the mid-90s, we launched our first website in 1994, and we're very good at it. So good that for over a decade, we handled the Department of Defense's main website, DefenseLink, and we still host, support, and maintain about 100-plus websites for the department in addition to our own website.
Paul, can you provide us a sense of the general scale of your organization? Perhaps you can tell us how it's organized, the size of your budget, and what the mix is between full-time employees, government employees, as well as contractors?
Sure. We're not a big organization, but we like to say we do big things. We're about 300 government employees full-time. We have a contractor support in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 people, give and take, full-time, helping us out. DTIC is organized into six major directorates and a program management office that supports our Information Analysis Center program. Our main location is at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. We have a couple of regional offices in the Boston area, Dayton, Ohio area, Albuquerque area, and Los Angeles. Our budget is in the neighborhood of $51 million in FY07.
Paul, could you tell us more about your specific role? What are your responsibilities and duties as administrator of DTIC, and how do you support the mission of DOD?
Obviously, as head of the organization, I lead it. My boss is the Honorable John J. Young, the Director of Defense Research and Engineering. So one of my duties is to support him and his goals. I have to ensure that the resources, people, and dollars are available to my staff and distributed properly. That's one of the main functions I believe a director of an organization does. I make sure that the DTIC goals are aligned with the goals of DDR&E and right up the chain, AT&L, Acquisition Technology and Logistics, the QDR goals, the Quadrennial Defense Review goals, as well as the President's Management Agenda. We have just released our 2007-2012 strategic plan. In there, we outline 8 strategic objectives that start with providing outstanding customer support, increasing information resource awareness, making access to information easier, expanding global information resources, and on and on. So those are the kinds of things that I see that I help the organization do by organizing, having the proper resources, putting the right people with the right skills in the right positions. And then what I hope to do is stand back and have trust in my senior leadership that they'll carry out those programs.
Paul, given the broad range of responsibilities and duties you just outlined, what are the top 3 challenges that you face in the organization, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, I'd say the 3 challenges that come to my mind are the rapid change in technology, making sure our networks, our processes, and the information we receive is secure. And third, to make sure that our collections are rich in content, that we get all of the information that DOD is paying in the research and development process. In addressing them, first, the rapid change in technology. We all know that technology is moving at a frantic pace. There's global change. It's imperative, I believe, that we understand what these nuances in technologies are, what the new technologies coming out are. I don't necessarily worry about whether we're on the leading and cutting edge of new technologies, but I at least need to know what they are. So when it becomes ripe for us to take an opportunity and advantage of them, we can do that. So making sure we're using technology to our best advantage is one way to address that first issue. Security of information and networks is very important. It's important to us. It's important to our customers. We get customer information that goes into our systems. It ranges from publicly available information up through secret. Our customers certainly expect us to be careful stewards of that information, so we take that level of security very seriously. We have strong network operation in our facilities. We host a number of websites for the department. It is very critical that we maintain the network integrity and the security. Because of who we are really on the outside of the Department of Defense as far as facing challenges and network attacks. We have been very successful in not having been brought down by worms, by viruses, by denial of service attacks, simply because our staff is so good at maintaining network integrity and network security. So network security and the security of the information is very important. Given the fact that we have these highly protected and versatile networks, they're really kind of useless unless the collection is rich in information. So the third responsibility and challenge is to make sure we are collecting as much information as being produced by the department's business partners, industry, et cetera, and get that into our collection. Once it's into our collection, our customer base can be sure that it's useful, authenticated, and coming from a trustworthy source.
That's a pretty broad set of responsibilities for just 300 people.
It certainly is, but the staff is up to the challenge. DTIC is a great place to work. A lot of people that are at DTIC have been there for quite a number of years, and I think a lot of that reason is because what we do is very interesting and challenging, and people generally like a challenging job day in, day out.
That's fantastic. Now, related, you've spent most of your career in defense-related organizations. Could you describe your career path for our listeners, and how did you get started?
Sure. I went to Villanova University, where I got my undergraduate degree in mathematics. From there, I went to Drexel University, who was just starting a program in their library school offering a Master's of Science in Information Science, the bringing together of typical library-type work but automated information with computers. After graduating from Drexel, I was recruited by the Army to work in one of their laboratories, the Picatinny Arsenal Lab up in northern New Jersey. That's where I spent my early years. I spent the next set of years working for the Ballistic Research Laboratory at Aberdeen Proving Ground, another Army lab. And from there, I went to DTIC in the mid-'80s. It's interesting to note that even when I was up in Picatinny, though, I began my interface with DTIC as far back as then and began to work with them, understand their systems and their processes. And the other kind of interesting thread that I found is the use of information and computers and automation and processing throughout my career. The Ballistic Research Laboratory is the Army lab that developed the first computer, the ENIAC, in conjunction with the University of Pennsylvania. So there's a tie-in there. BRL, Ballistic Research Laboratory, was also one of the early pioneers in working with ARPA in the use of ARPANET. And so I was on what they call a box on my desk very early on, and I can remember some of the senior scientists at BRL whose email alias was steve@BRL. And I can remember seeing an email from him to somebody saying, sorry about the informality, but there were only 12 of us on the network when this started. That's why it was so informal. So it's kind of built from an educational background in this field, hard science in the undergraduate level, information science, working with the automated pieces of information, and then moving into a career within the Department of Defense, very hard science oriented on the research and development side, to an organization like DTIC that is the central repository for the scientific and technical information that supports DOD's research and engineering efforts.
So what would be perhaps one or two of these experiences that you think has best prepared you for your current leadership role and informed your current management approach and leadership style?
I think what really helped early on for me to understand information needs was working in those Army laboratories, working with leading scientists and engineers, a worldwide reputation, understanding what their information needs were, and then taking that concept, having worked with them, to an organization like DTIC, and then seeing the internals of how DTIC work. I started out at DTIC as a program manager in their Information Science and Technology Directorate, moved over to become director of user services directorate, and at that time we were adding a marketing phrase, so it became user services and marketing. I spent a lot of time on the road talking about DTIC to customers, DOD labs, industry. And to do that successfully, I had to know a lot about every phase of DTIC, so I really learned what was going on in all those six other directorates at DTIC, and I think that is what helped me prepared for senior leadership positions within DTIC. I went from the director of user services and marketing to deputy administrator, and then have been either acting or the administrator since 2004.
What does it mean to be DOD's technical information broker? We will ask Paul Ryan, administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.